Hello, I'm Jeff. My wife and I host Message of Hope. Message of Hope wants to be your weekly inspirational, motivational, and non-judgmental friend to help you through your week as we share Bible truths and life experiences to let you know you're not alone. Let's join Sandra to see what message of hope she has today.
Hello, I'm Sandra. We have a lot to cover today, so let's jump right in. As I mentioned in prior episodes, I'm on a journey to find out for myself what God's Word says. Actually, read it for myself to study and do my best to understand and to live according to what Jehovah instructs me through it. If others want to study along with me, that's great. But let me say, if you've not listened to prior episodes in Genesis, then I want to encourage you to listen to those episodes as well, because we can't understand the later chapters in the Bible without first understanding the beginning chapters, in my opinion. I know several of the churches I have attended throughout my life had given me the impression that the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. Think about it like this. If I meet a new friend and we become very close, great friends, and hang out all the time, they may think they really know me, but really, they don't. They just know me the way I am right then. They don't really understand why I respond to things the way I do, because they didn't know me before. You know, how I got to who I am today. We all have a history, a beginning. There are family factors and conditions, also the times that we grew up in, the atmosphere of our households, our family members, and how we interacted with each other, the way our parents instructed and punished us, failures and successes, and each of the life lessons that they taught us that make us who we truly are. Because we only portray to others the way we want them to see us many times, not who we truly are. It's the same with Jehovah our God. We can't make him into the God that we want him to be in order to allow us to live the way that we think is more accommodating to us. No, we are to live our lives for him, because we wouldn't be alive if it weren't for him. We wouldn't breathe. We don't have anything without him. And in order to do that, we have to take the time to truly know him. And we do that by spending time with him in his word, through prayer, understanding who he truly is and what he truly wants by learning his story and how he interacted and responded to others to see who he truly is and how he has instructed for us to live the best life we possibly can now, and so that we can advance from this learning experience to live eternally with him. Just reading the New Testament of the Bible is like meeting me much later in my life and thinking that you know and understand everything about me. Guess what? You don't. Matter of fact, the Bible is a progressive story, and you should just tear out the page that says New Testament. That was added by man. We need to start at the beginning and follow it through to its completion. We also must keep an open mind, because when we do, we're going to learn many, many things we didn't know before. The question we should ask ourselves is this: once we learn new things about this particular person, will we accept and love him? Or will we decide his truths are too much for us to handle and begin to ignore them and eventually part ways because God doesn't fit into the tiny box that we are trying to fit him into? So we remove him from our inner circle because of the discomfort of someone who is too close to us and knows us too well, or who loves us too much, or who is too completely and totally truthful with us, so it makes us uncomfortable and we hide from Him. The beautiful thing, but also a big responsibility that He gifted to us, is the power to choose. It's our very own. It's called free will. The free will to choose to trust, love, and hang out with and learn from Him, or to simply disregard and ignore Him. Okay, hopefully you get my drift and want to stick with me, so open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 3 and let's dive in. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, which means cunning in Hebrew, and the meaning of cunning is having or showing skill in achieving one's ends by deceit or evasion. So the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice, Satan starts this conversation by getting her to question, by casting doubt in her mind, whether God's word was all truth by saying, Did God really say? Sometimes all it takes is a few negative words to cast a shadow of doubt on something only a few moments earlier she may have not ever thought of. I can relate to this in a way. I know many times I have gotten excited about something only to share the idea with someone else and them ask a simple question like, And you think that will work? And even though I may say, Oh yes, confidently in front of them, later when I'm alone, I begin to doubt. I let their simple question make me doubt myself and kill my dream about what I had hoped my future would be. That's why we have to know God's word and to seek His direction for our lives. Okay, back to Genesis, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Remember, we talked about this second tree in episode 47. There were two trees in particular that were mentioned in the garden. The other was the tree of life, and God did not say you must not touch it. She was either beefing up the words of God or not remembering exactly what His instructions were. And that's where we get ourselves into trouble many times. We are told in Deuteronomy 4:2, You shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. So we have to take His word exactly as He instructs it. When we add our own twist, we get into trouble in our lives, and our vision of His actual instruction gets skewed. Also, this is why we have to study God's word for ourselves and not rely on just what a pastor is saying in a single message that is directing into making or proving a single point that backs up that one message thought that he or she is trying to make. We have to know the whole story in the context it was written, not the way any other man has perceived it to be in their own mind, but through what God has revealed to us in our own hearts. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Satan lied, and he is the father of lies, and distorted the truth to her the same as he tries to do to us. This all started with a simple conversation, but a conversation with someone she should not have been having a discussion with. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So to me, he is saying, God just wants to keep you down. God doesn't want anyone equal to him. He's trying to sway you. He's trying to make her think that God's keeping something good from her, that knowing good and evil would make them like God. He's casting doubt in her mind. How many of you could testify of that truth? I have had shadows of doubt cast over me through conversations many times myself. Also, I want to share that the Hebrew word for knowing or knew, which we just read in verse 5, is the same word used in other places in Scripture that are describing intimacy. For instance, Genesis 4:1 says Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And Genesis 4:17, which begins by saying, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. So, when we, like Eve, become intimate with evil, it brings a psychological or emotional pain and has a negative effect on our consciousness that we carry around with us, weighing us down and causing us to think less of ourselves, sometimes even losing hope, and causing a great depression or a dark cloud to loom around us. Moving on to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So what's she doing here? She's making a decision based off of what she sees. She's coveting what she sees with her eyes. Covet is the English word translated from ancient Hebrew, which means a lust or a strong desire to possess or have something. But we know from being in our word, Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So we should not make decisions based on what we see. Our first action to making a decision should be to seek God, to listen and hear what He instructs. Then move forward after we have heard and have direction from Him. But that's not what they did. Think about this. They had a tree that gives you eternal life and a tree that promises that you will die if you eat of it. And the serpent was so cunning in his deception that the woman chose death over life. In the end, this is our free choice as well. We need to be careful to think about the things that we're thinking about and figure out the source of that desire that we have for a certain thing is, and ask ourselves if that desire is in line with the Word of God, or rather from a selfish motivation or desire of our own, or perhaps it's even being pushed on us by someone else and their selfish desire to acquire something they want through our choice. So let's make a mental note here that just because something looks luscious and tasty, or we have a strong desire for it, doesn't mean that it's good or that it's what's best for us. And I'm not just talking about food here, but rather anything that we desire. Continuing on, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now, of course, we know naked means not having any clothes on. Before they ate, they didn't realize this. They were innocent. They didn't know sin, so their conscience wasn't aware of the nakedness. But naked also means exposed to harm, unprotected, or vulnerable. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. To me, this is saying that their sin had caused them to feel shame, which means a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Before they had eaten from the tree of knowledge, they had not felt shame. They were innocent. They had not sinned by going against God's instruction. But now their consciousness was exposed to a deeply disturbing feeling. We all try to clear our conscience, sometimes by doing something good to try to make up for things that we've done wrong, or to make ourselves stop feeling that disturbing feeling inside. Sometimes we run from it and try to drown that inner voice inside us by drinking or taking drugs as a method of escape. But that feeling keeps returning, because only God can cleanse us from the miserable feelings brought on by our failures or our sins. When we acknowledge Him and accept Him into our hearts, He promises us in Hebrews 8:12, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that an amazing love? Back to verse 11. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Beguiled means to charm or to enchant someone in a deceptive way. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. An enmity is a hostility or a hatred or an enemy. Verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means life-giver, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I always just brushed on past this verse and assumed God could create them a covering, a coat, with just words the same He created everything else, and that may be true. But in studying, I have found it's also possible that at this time, the first animal sacrifice was initiated by God and the hides from that sacrifice were used for Adam and Eve's clothing. And we see in our next episode in Genesis 4 is the story of Eve's sons, Cain and Abel, who brought a gift to God of the best parts from his sheep, making it a logical possibility that God had sacrificed an animal and made them coats of skin with its hide. However, there is no proof of this, but it's something to ponder on. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So, why do you suppose God wanted to now keep them away from the tree of life, which before they had the freedom to eat from? To me, I believe it means that he loved us so much that even after Adam and Eve chose sin, he is protecting them in a mighty, mighty, loving way. Because I presume that if they had eaten of the tree of life in this new state of sinfulness, that they would have lived forever in a sinful state, unable to be saved from that sin in order to obtain the gift of eternal life. So, while stern discipline was enforced by sending them out of this lush haven where all their needs were previously met, and instead into a harsh world where they would have to work for themselves for their every need because of their own free will choices, God is still showing great love for them in preventing them from making a mistake that would last throughout eternity by not allowing them any chance to also now eat from the other tree, the tree of life. And that would also show his great love for us too, and for all future generations. Thank you, Jehovah, for showing your love for us today in these scriptures, that even after sin was chosen, you further protected us by keeping us from also eating of the tree of life at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, so that none of us have to live eternally in this sinful state as a result of disobedience. Amen. A word of encouragement to all of you listening today who already believe and live by God's Torah. It's from 1 Corinthians 10:11 through 13, and it says, "The things that happen to those people are examples. They were written to be warnings for us. We live in the time that all those past histories were pointing to. So anyone who thinks that they are standing strong should be careful that they don't fall. The only temptations that you have are the same temptations that all people have. But you can trust God. He will not let you be tempted more than you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also give you a way to escape that temptation. Then you will be able to endure it." Amen. So let's stay strong. Let's keep believing. Keep doing our best to walk in obedience to God's word in this crazy world. Don't lose focus. When we sin, let's be quick to acknowledge it, walk away from that temptation, and ask forgiveness from our Creator through the blood of His Son Yeshua, who has already paid the price through His death and blood that covers our sins and gives us the ability to live free from the nakedness and shame of our sinful nature. Let's keep sharing the love of our Father with others so that they too may believe and escape their own temptations, so they won't have to live eternally in their sinful state, unforgiven and full of shame eventually enduring God's eternal punishment. Let's share with and show them the only way out through God's love. Before I log off, I'd like to invite you to go to our website if you're not listening from there already. You can find us at msgofhope.com, that's messageofhope.com, and find episode 48 where you can re-listen to this podcast and many others, as well as find the references for the scriptures that we read together today, so that you can study them for yourself and make any adjustments according to what God alone lays on your specific heart. Additionally, you can find us on almost any of your favorite podcast player apps. As always, we thank you for listening and for helping us to spread the good news by liking and sharing it with your friends. And if our podcast have helped you in any way, or you need prayer, we would love to hear about that. You can contact us at msgofhope1@gmail.com. Now, before I log off, I want to bless you with a prayer. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Until next time, keep your focus on our only hope, Yeshua Messiah. Shalom.